Hi, my name's Brad. We are Grace Teaching Today. This is part four, and we're talking about the Living the Christ Life. This is Living the Christ Life series, and we're talking about God the Father's love, His unconditional love. You know, Paul says this, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In fact, he writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or a sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so keep in mind there that not even our faithlessness can separate us from the love of God. What is faithlessness, our faithlessness? Well, it's our unbelief in who we are to the Father. Remember, Jesus took our sins. We are forgiven people. And so Jesus was judged. Jesus was condemned. We don't need to self-condemn ourselves. Remember, condemnation comes from the enemy. It's to pronounce you guilty. It comes straight from the accuser of the brethren. So remember, our freedom in Christ and freedom with the Father by God's grace is the fact that we are forgiven, we are right, and we are loved unconditionally by our Heavenly Father. And not only that, but we're accepted. The word accepted is really a neat word when we look at the meaning of it. It's when you take somebody just the way they are without wanting or trying to change them. It's kind of like our pets take us something. That's why we love our pets, because they take us just the way we are. And of course, I'm talking about those cute little fuzzy furball puppy dogs and your pets that take you just the way you are. And that's why we love them. That's why we like them around, because they accept us. And so that's what Paul is saying here. He says in Ephesians 1:6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, through which he has made us accepted in the Beloved." That means the moment we were placed in Christ at conversion, our acceptance from the Father happens at the moment of our conversion, and it goes on forever. So get used to God's unconditional love and acceptance for you, because it's going to be there all the time. And so that's why Paul says, "Therefore, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." This is a great verse for marriages. And so a lot of times, you know, in the context here in Ephesians 4, verse 30 through 32, this is where the church, the church in Christ at Ephesus, they were not being kind to each other. They were slandering each other. They were bickering and backbiting and just being unkind and not compassionate to one another. And Paul says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, and how are they grieving the Holy Spirit? By being unkind, by not being compassionate to one another. That's why he said, if you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, and then be kind, be compassionate to one another, forgive one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, how does God the Father forgive you in Christ Jesus? He loves you unconditionally. He accepts you just the way you are. So you take your spouse the same way, you know. And so if you want to avoid grieving the Holy Spirit, then be kind to each other and compassionate to one another. See, because it only hurts us, you see. My wife and I have discovered this truth, that when we agree to disagree, what happens is we grieve the Holy Spirit in both of us. And so we just decided that, you know, to argue is really foolish, because it just hurts us. You see, if I'm tired and crabby, And I come off as unkind or inconsiderate or not compassionate to her, then I'm hurting myself, you see. I'm not hurting her, I'm hurting me, because the Holy Spirit in me is grieving, and so am I. It's causing inner conflict, you see. See the problem there? But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, it says, "Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Of course, this comfort that Christ supplies us with is not only for us, but it's for others through us, see? So when others are in trouble, with the comfort that's in us, Christ transmits his comfort through us to others, okay? And so, Christ, for just as the suffering of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort flows, it overflows. And so the comfort Christ supplies us will overflow into other people's lives that are hurting, is what Paul is saying. So to live the Christ life, you see that it's not living for Christ, it's actually living from Christ. Remember, Christ said this, he says, "Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." You see, and this is not something we're generating, it's something he's producing through the body of Christ, you see. So in Galatians 6:1, Paul says this, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." So what is sin, first of all? You know, remember what Jesus said? He said, "The world's unpardonable sin is unbelief in me." You see, so if someone is in unbelief, you know, and they're self-condemning themselves because maybe their behavior's not that great or hasn't been that great, it's good to restore them gently. How do you restore them gently? You know, or you see the body of Christ today firing up those apologies and asking God for forgiveness when they are forgetting it, that what he said when he said "it is finished." The word "it is finished" in the Greek, the Greek word for "it is finished" is tetelestai, meaning paid in full. So our past, our present, future sins were paid in full. But if we're still firing up those apologies and asking God for forgiveness, because after all, if we don't, we won't be forgiven. If we're under that system of trying to make ourselves right with God through human effort, then we're going to have some problems. So how do you restore the body of Christ or someone that is in unbelief? Very gently, just like Paul did in Galatians 5:4. Take a look at that. He says, "You who are trying to make yourself right with God through the law," meaning through human effort, "your life with Christ is finished and you fall from grace." So your life with Christ is finished. That doesn't mean you're not in Christ anymore, because once you're in Christ, you're always in Christ. And the body of Christ says, "Oh, thank goodness." Yeah, you can't separate yourself when you're one spirit with Christ. You know, and whoever's joined to the Lord is one spirit. But the truth of the matter is, when we choose to live independent lives and make it about us, we automatically choose to cut his life off. You see, and we're going independent. Remember, there were only two trees, independence and dependence, you see. And so, fall from grace, what does that mean? Sounds pretty scary. Well, it actually is. It's an experience that we don't experience. You see, when we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, Christ offers us the peace of God. And so that's a moment-by-moment peace, but also it's experiencing our spiritual needs met. The needs for love and acceptance and security and assurance and significance are all met. They're all spiritual needs that are met in Christ, in our spirit. And so these are all not experienced if we're making it about us. So when we go to the body of Christ and say, "Look, you know, repent." What is repent? You go from unbelief to belief. And now you'll experience the life-giving spirit of Christ, and that's what living the Christ life is all about. And not only that, but that experience will experience the grace of God. Remember, Paul said this, "And you're complete through your union with Christ," Colossians 2:10. So we want to experience that. We don't want to walk around thinking we're, you know, needy. Because if we're complete through our union with Christ, are we needy? No, we're complete. We're completely satisfied, you see. You know, that's what Matthew 5:6 was all about in the Beatitudes. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled," and are satisfied. And so remember, as lost people, we were hungry and thirsty, you know. for love and acceptance. But now, being saved by God's grace, we don't hunger and thirst. We're satisfied. We're not needy, you see. And so before Christ, as lost people, we were very needy. But now in Christ, we're not. And so remember, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but to save the world through him. In John 3:17-18, Jesus says, you know, this is what he's saying to the disciples. He's looking right at them. He says, I don't come into the world and judge these guys. I come in to save them through me. And so, but whoever stands and does not believe, and he looks over to the Pharisees in verse 18, that's John 3:18, he says, but those who don't believe stand judged already. You see, their judgment is their unbelief, you see, and they judge themselves, you see. And so, you know, living the Christ life, when we're actually trusting Christ to live the Christ life, we have to give thanks in all circumstances. You're asking yourself, how is that possible? You know, this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. How is it possible to give thanks in all circumstances? Now notice Paul's not saying give thanks for all the circumstances. No, he's saying give thanks in all the circumstances. How is that possible? Well, we know God is in the process of forming us into the people he wants us to be in. You see, and we know that he works all things out for good, but they're for his good. So God works for the good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28 and 29 says that he's in the process of conforming us into the likeness of his son, Jesus. So this has been the fourth teaching on living the Christ life. And I want to thank you for joining us.